A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. The 11 disciples made their way to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had summoned them. At the sight of him, those who had entertained doubts fell down in homage. Jesus came forward and addressed them in these words, "Full authority has been given to me both in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Teach them to carry out everything I have commanded you, and know that I am with you always, until the end of the world." The Gospel of the Lord. Full authority has been given to me. Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptize them, teach them everything I have commanded you. Know that I am always with you. These are pretty familiar words to most of us, sometimes called the Great Commissioning. This is one of the basic missionary texts that we find in the Gospels. But there lies the challenge. What is mission? What does it mean to be a missionary? I would venture to say that there are few of Jesus' sayings that have been more twisted and contorted over the centuries than this one. These words have been evoked by popes and kings to stir up zeal on behalf of marauding crusaders and holy wars. We Christians must humbly remember that today's Muslims are not the only ones who have declared jihad in the unfolding of history. I suspect that many medieval crusaders probably tattooed the words, "Full authority has been given to me to make disciples of all the nations," on their arms as a kind of battle cry to carry out violence in the name of God. Unfortunately, and I say this with great sadness, some of those crusaders and inquisitors were members of my own Dominican order, a piece of history that should serve as a continual call to repentance and gospel humility. Confusing their faith with worldly power, Christians have at times heard these words of Jesus as a kind of military cry, as if Jesus had commissioned them, saying, "Whether they like it or not, I command you to make disciples of all the nations." Maybe they even had discussions about which of the torture methods were permissible in this disciple-making business, not so unlike our own times. I apologize for this rather sick humor, but in truth, this is no laughing matter. This is not some Monty Python comedy about a modern-day Jesus. These words of Jesus have been abused over the centuries by power-hungry fundamentalist and imperialist Christians. To deny these past horrors does nothing but perpetuate the mistakes. We owe history a generous measure of repentance in this matter. Writing in the first half of the 16th century during the Spanish conquest of the Americas, the Dominican and Franciscan friars who were working as missionaries on the island of what is today the Dominican Republic co-signed and sent a letter to the Spanish crown complaining of the abuses being committed against the indigenous peoples on the island. In this letter, they wrote, "The Christians go through this land like rabid wolves in the midst of gentle lambs. Greedy and rabid for money and full of other filthy passions, they break and destroy the land, leaving the surviving Indians having more of a likeness to painted corpses than living persons." All of this, of course, done in the name of God and King, and with Bible verses jumping off of their lips. "Full authority has been given. Go and make disciples of all nations." Dominican friar Bartolomé de las Casas, fervent defender of the indigenous peoples, wrote a treatise on evangelization in 1530, precisely in response to this violence of the conquest. He said the following, "There is one way, only one way, to teach a living faith to all. It was established by means of divine providence. It must be gentle, attractive, good-willed. The apostles were chosen as luminarias, examples for us to imitate. They used no arms, they were not mercenaries, they did not subjugate the world by means of physical force or by massive battalions. They did so through the preaching of Christ crucified, using simple words, loving words, that have within themselves a miraculous power. End of quote. Las Casas understood the words of Jesus in the Great Commissioning. He understood that Jesus was sending the disciples out like good shepherds, like lights, bearers of good news, friends of the poor and oppressed. In this sense, Las Casas was truly a disciple of our Holy Father, St. Dominic, whose feast we celebrate today. The early friars, those who were Dominic's first companions in the preaching mission, said this of Dominic: God had given him a special grace to weep for sinners and for the afflicted and oppressed. He bore their distress in the inmost shrine of his compassion. And that warm sympathy that he felt for them in his heart spilled over in the tears which flowed from his eyes. Now, these are hardly words written about a holy warrior, mounted on horseback, dressed in armor, galloping forth conquering souls for God. No, it was hardly that. These words really describe a man who actually left his horse and his servants behind, his entourage. A man who walked barefoot and poor throughout southern Europe, announcing the mercy and compassion of God to the poor and oppressed, to those seeking truth and mercy. Dominic understood, as did his contemporary Francis, that it was the humble servant Christ that sends his disciples out as lights of peace and mercy to the world. With this in mind, I'd like then to return to the commissioning text of Jesus in Matthew's Gospel and try to hear them in their proper context. In Jesus' day, Jews were God's people, and everybody else had to fend for him or herself. Or at least that was the overall religious sentiment. Samaritans, pagans, Greeks, Ethiopians, astrologers from the East. You'll have to pardon the passing train here. All these different groups, all of them who appear in the New Testament, were basically folks who had the misfortune of having not been born as Jews. They might have been good people in a kind of generic sense, but they were not God's people. They were not God's chosen people. It was only the people of Abraham's stock that God had liberated from the oppressive grip of Pharaoh in Egypt. And it was with them, even with their hard-heartedness, that God had journeyed through the desert for 40 years. This bond of what we might call historical intimacy, like a long marriage, was not to be easily forgotten. God loved Israel, and Israel loved God, though not always so well. Our ancient Jewish ancestors were not a missionary people as we know what that means today, a people set on converting the world to their religious views. They were chosen by God because of their bloodline, because of the faith of their ancestors. The Exodus was the founding narrative that gave identity to Israel as a people. So you don't invite someone to become your cousin or your grandmother. Either they're kinfolk or they aren't. And that was the case for Israel. Jesus is born into this narrative. Jesus was a Jew. All of his ancestors were Jewish. Well, at least most of them were Jewish. There were a few surprises along the way, of course. As we well know, he broke the mold on more than one occasion. about what it meant to be a Jew. He wasn't the most observant Jew in the history of Judaism. But Jesus usually broke the mold when he sensed that God, his Abba, was calling him to go beyond the boundaries, to extend his loving embrace to those outside the family tree, outside the circle of respectable Judaism. Jesus touched untouchable lepers. He forgave unforgivable sinners. He cured people who were sick on the Sabbath. He spoke with the Samaritan and Canaanite women, which was a big double no-no in his days. Yeah, Jesus was a Jew. He was born, raised, and died as a Jew. But, and this is the light by which we must be able to read today's gospel, Jesus was a different kind of Jew. He marched to the beat of a different drum, that drum being, of course, the voice of God. So let us go back now and hear these words of the Great Commissioning in their Jewish context, spoken by Israel's promised Messiah in the most Jewish of all four of the Gospels. Full authority has been given to me. Go and make disciples of all the nations. Baptize them, teach them everything I've commanded you, and know that I am with you always. This is no battle cry. The point here is not about pressuring people all over the world into accepting Jesus as Messiah. The challenge here, Jesus' words, we must remember, were directed to the preachers, addressed to the Jewish disciples being commissioned. So Jesus is telling them to drop their prejudices and to embrace the whole world, to go out to all the nations. In a sense, they had to get over this, you are the only people of God, you are the chosen people of God, and realize that God's love was universal. And they were being called to announce this saving mercy and compassion of God to all people, and not just to the law-abiding people of Israel. The only battle cry that Jesus was raising then was the cry to end all prejudice, to bring down the walls that separate people, to stop dividing the world into the pure and impure, saved and damned, saint and sinner. Jesus said, go to all the nations, to all the people, no exceptions. Show each and every person, each and every living being, the infinite love of God. The Great Commissioning is the great healing of all divisions. All nations are invited to the table of the Lord. All peoples are welcomed into God's household. It's not a battle cry in any way. It's the voice of love, the voice of the good shepherd who has other sheep who do not belong to this fold. Saint Dominic founded an order of preachers 800 years ago, not to separate the good from the bad, the saintly from the sinner, but to reach out to sinners, to the afflicted and oppressed, and to welcome them into the inmost shrine of his compassion. That is the mission that Jesus invites us to share with all the nations. Today we are sent to speak a word of healing love to all the world.